want to stay where you are, I am completely okay with that. We're going to dig into the word tonight. If you are a guest here, on Wednesday nights, what we do is we come together and worship and praise. And we have a time together, and then we dismiss into our individual classes. It's by age group, so we can be specific about how we teach and what we teach. Teach on different levels in terms of understanding. And so that's what we're doing here. We're trying to build up the kingdom of God one class at a time. And so I'm not normally with you. I'm normally privileged to be able to teach 13 to 18-year-olds. And I think everybody in this room, you might be the youngest, and you guys are probably 10 years my senior, at least the youngest person, but I believe that the word of God doesn't have an age on it, and I believe that the word of God is for every single group that we might encounter, and the word of God works no matter how old you are. If you're young, if you're old, the word of God works, and the word of God is going to continue to work until God comes back. Let's go ahead and get into God's word tonight. If you're turning your Bibles, we're going to go to the 107th Psalm. 107th Psalm. If you're a visitor here, we're so glad that you're here. And I heard somebody else say it this way. They said, if you haven't been here when our pastor is here, you should come back. You owe yourself another trip because we have a phenomenal leader, phenomenal preacher, phenomenal man of God, and I'm just glad to be a part of his kingdom and, well, God's kingdom and everything that he's doing here. Is anybody thankful for your pastor tonight? Yeah. Amen. The 107th Psalm. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And we're going to skip over to Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11, the Bible says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." And for a short moment, I want to teach, preach. I don't know what we're going to do here tonight, but I want to talk about this topic. Don't forget your story. Don't forget your story. If you would, let's pray. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your provision, God. God, I ask that you would show up in this place as you already have, oh God. Anoint my lips of clay, oh God. Touch your people, oh God. Help us, oh God, to have understanding, oh God, and clarity, oh God, in your word, oh God. Anoint us, oh God. Help us, oh God. God, anoint my lips, oh God. Anoint my thoughts, oh God. Help me to see, oh God, as you see, oh God. Help me to hear, oh God, as you hear, oh God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Jesus, you're my strength and my redeemer. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise as you're seated. Amen. Don't forget your story. Stories are powerful. We tell stories every day. Stories are one of the ways that we travel to the past and how we envision the future. Stories are what connects us and binds us to each other. Stories are what defines us and what sets us apart. Stories allow us to truly know and to be truly known. It is how we leave the here and now and travel to another place. Stories show us who we were, who we are, and who we can be. They show us where we were, where we are, and where we can be. This is why we love Brother Booker. If you've ever heard Brother Booker preach, Brother Booker is a wonderful storyteller. And whenever he gets in our pulpit or you hear him preach, I listened to him last night on Holy Ghost Radio, and he preaches, and then he goes into a story, and he gets your attention, and he's carrying you along with him for a journey, but he's always taking you somewhere. And his book is The Journey of a Lifetime, and I read that book, and you feel like you're connected with him because he tells stories in a way to where you feel connected and you feel like you're a part of it and you feel like, man, don't take this turn, don't move this way, you need to do this and this, and I'm just listening to the book. But stories connect us, they bind us together. But God is the same way. he chose the vehicle of stories to teach us. He understands the power that stories have. The Bible begins unfolding story after story after story. And we teach our children in Sunday school the stories of the Bible. And these are not just fairy tales or just regular stories, but these are actual stories that happened that are in and that were lived out in real time, and now we're able to glean from those stories in our day in 2018. And so we teach our children these stories. This is all of our foundation. If you come from a church background, if you come from the house of God, if you've been a part of the house of God, this is our foundation. The Bible starts from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, to Joseph, to a little child who was put in an ark of bulrushes and sent out on the Nile River, the same river that the other boys were killed on. So the child ends up in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter, and she keeps him, and she names him Moses. Does anybody know this story? And Moses grows up in an Egyptian home, and at some point he realizes, I'm different. Because his mom put into him, you're not an Egyptian. And so he's in this house and he realized, man, there is something different about me. I'm not like everybody else here. Moses understands that the people deemed slaves were his people. The Bible says that Moses went down to see the burdens of his brethren. And he saw an Egyptian smiting one of his brethren. And Moses looks to the left and he looks all around. And when he didn't see anybody there, the Bible says that he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And the next day, Moses realizes what he's done. And he realizes that it's known. And he fled the land of Egypt and dwelt in Midian. The Bible says that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel cried out to God about their bondage. And God heard their cry. And now we come to the place where God is about to start the process of freedom for the children of Israel. And Moses has spent 40 years on the backside of a hill doing seemingly unnecessary work as a shepherd. But this unnecessary work would be exactly the type of training that he needed. Because little did he know that his next encounter would change his life forever. It is here at the burning bush where Moses is thrust into his ministry. It is here where God shows Moses what would become of the rest of his life. It is here where God gives Moses instruction on how the deliverance of his people would happen. The signs, the 10 plagues, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. It is now time for Moses to put into action what he's been practicing for the past 40 years. And I want to tell somebody right here, it doesn't matter how long you've waited. Your efforts are not in vain. Just stay faithful to God's process. Your efforts won't be in vain. God is working it out for your good. God sees you where you are on the backside of that hill. You just keep your head down. You just keep on working. You just keep on doing the will of God. It may be 40 years, but God's got a plan. And God knows what he's doing. And God knows that Moses needs to be on this backside of a hill tending sheep so he can learn how to lead people. And so it's hard to see the parallel, but God has a plan in mind. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then we find Moses face to face with Pharaoh, and he says the famous line, "Let my people go." And for the next four chapters, we find a back and forth battle between Moses and Pharaoh over the Israelites. And God will send the 10 plagues. He will send blood and frogs and lice and flies and cattle and balls and hail and locusts and darkness. And finally, the 10th plague, he would send death. And if you didn't have the blood over the doorposts of your home, and notice that whenever God gives his people a mandate, don't think that they were just going to go scot-free and not have to do anything. There's always something to do. You see, salvation is salvific, which means it's for our saving, but it's also vocational, which means it's for work. And so God, when we're saved, when we get the Holy Ghost, God, he saves us, but he also gives us a job to do. And so there's something to walk out. And so he tells even the Israelites, he says, you need to put the blood over the doorposts. The other plagues they were kind of exempt from in the land of Goshen. There wasn't any of the trouble that was happening in the previous 9 plagues. And so he sends death. And so it's a different type of plague because it's getting real and it's getting serious because Pharaoh, he's like, look, you could send boys, you could send all of this stuff, and then Pharaoh would go, and we know the story, Pharaoh would go and say, go and entreat your God for me, and let him know, look, just stop this for a little while. And Moses would go, and he would talk to God, and God would stop it, and he would say, let my people go, and he'd say, nope, we're not going to let them go. And so this back and forth happens, and now Pharaoh is finally letting the people go. And after 430 years of hard bondage and slavery, the Hebrews start their trek out of the land of Egypt. And Moses says unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. And God led the people through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And God led them by pillar of cloud by day and by pillar of fire by night. But Pharaoh repented that he had let them go and began to pursue after them. And here we find the Israelites at the Red Sea. And with nowhere to go, the Israelites are afraid and said, it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And you see, he just told them, remember this time. Remember where we are. And they're going back and they're saying, we could have been slaves instead of this death that's coming upon us. Verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them no more again forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And they pursued. And Moses stretched forth his hand, and the sea parted. And there were walls of water on the left hand and on the right. And they walked through on dry ground. And all the Israelites were swallowed up in the sea. Is anybody thankful for a God that can make a way when there seems to be no way? Are you thankful for a God that knows exactly where you are and will show up right when you need him to show up? Are you thankful for a faithful God? Are you thankful for a true God, a living God, a God that's able to heal, a God that's able to deliver, a God that's able to change your situation? Is anybody thankful for the true living God in this house? Clap your hands, all ye people. Somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let's give him praise for a minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. But in the next chapter, we find the first song recorded in the Word of God in Exodus 15, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. And we know the story. Miriam grabs the tambourine and she starts dancing and shouting. And she starts singing. He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And it was an exciting time, and rightfully so. These people had just witnessed all of these things, and they were excited, and they wanted to give God praise, and they were thankful for him bringing them out of hard bondage. So times were happy. Things were well with the Israelites. Everything seemed to be lining up in a way that it's never lined up for them before. Most of them have been in bondage for a long time. Most of them only knew slavery. Most of them only knew bondage. And now it's starting to look on the up and up, and they're moving out and they're going out. But in the Bible says in verse 22 of chapter 15, that Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? In chapter 16, the Bible says that the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to be full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. After everything that God had just done for them, the signs, the wonders, the plagues, 400 years of bondage finally coming to a screeching halt. These people just watched as God parted the Red Sea. But when calamity hit, they suddenly forgot all that God had done for them. You see, they forgot their story. They forgot what it was like to work and work for hours in the hot sun, building a city that they couldn't even enjoy, working for people that didn't respect them at all, living in a place where they were not given the same privileges that the people of Egypt had. You see, they forgot their story. And it's human nature, and it's easy to get to that place. It's easy to get to a place to where when everything is good, it's easy to remember how good God has been. And that's good, and that's fine, and we need to remember. But when times get tough, and when times get rough, and calamity hits, and you're thirsty, and you want something to drink like the children of Israel, we can never forget our story. You see, they forgot their story. They forgot what God had done for them. They forgot all the things that they just witnessed with their own eyes. They forgot their story. Stories have to be told, or they will die. And when they die, we can't remember who we are or why we're even here. You see, after they got through the Red Sea and they got on the other side into the wilderness, and the story stopped being told, and they stopped singing the song that they had just recorded in the beginning of chapter 15. And they got removed from the parting of the Red Sea, and they got removed from the 10 plagues, and they got removed from all of the things that God had just done. They forgot their story. In our text, Psalms 107, the Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so when the redeemed of the Lord says so, it's the testimony of the redeemed. Another translation says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell your story. And so when they got to the other side, you see, the story stopped being told, and the song stopped being sung, and they remembered nothing of the past, and they only remembered their current situation because they were thirsty. And see, when we get desperate and we need something, we stop forgetting all the times that God provided. And we start forgetting all the times that when I needed this and when I needed that, when I was at the Red Sea and my back was against the wall and I didn't have nowhere to go, there was a God that opened up the Red Sea. There was a God that devoured my enemy. There was a God that took care of everything that was behind me. I'm here to tell somebody tonight, don't forget your story. I wrestled with God about this message because we had our baby last week, and I listened to the beginning of Brother Sutton preaching last Sunday night, and I caught it at the end, and he had people telling their story. And I said, they've already heard this. I need to turn to something else. But that's the essence of what I'm preaching tonight. We come into the house of God. We need to sing the songs again. We need to dust off the book again. We need to open it up again. We need to listen to what we listened to in times past. We need to hear the songs again. We need to strike up the organ and the instruments again. We can't ever forget our story. We can't ever forget the place that God has brought us from. We can't ever forget it. We've got to remember it. We've got to remember it. Don't forget your story. Come on, man. And so when we let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it's the testimony of the people. That's right. It's when people come into the house of God, and everybody's not going to get the mic. But guess what you can do? You can come into the house of God, and with praise and with worship, You could begin to tell your story. And there's somebody that's going to come in the house and they're going to say, that person's got a story. That person's been somewhere. That person's been through some things. I like the way that they're dancing. They're dancing like they've been brought out of something. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And this is not just church rhetoric. This is not just coming to the house of the Lord and put on and talk about the things of God in a mundane way, because if we're not careful, we will do that. We'll come into the house of God and we'll hear the same old things. And I'll get up to an exhort, and even in my mind, I'm saying the same things. But it's the word of God. And it's what saved your soul. And we got to continue to proclaim the word of God in this church, in this city, in this nation. We've got to preach the word of God. We've got to sing the songs. We've got to. You see, we can't forget our story. We tend to forget. If you don't talk about it, then you forget about it. If you don't revisit it, then you forget about it. This is why David said it like this. He says, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Take me back, God. Take me to that place where you saved me, God. Take me back to that altar where I bent my knee, God. Take me back to that little kid that gave me a card and told me to come to the house of God. Take me back to the person that first witnessed to me. Take me back, God. I need to go back. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And so David, in that time, he was going through a lot, and there was a lot on his mind, and it was rough and it was tough. And he said, God, take me back to that place where I found joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you've got to go back and revisit it. I know you probably got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. I understand that it's probably been a long time since this has been fresh to you. But you've got to remember your story. You've got to go back and dust it off and say, I remember where I was when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I remember where I was when I first cracked open the book. I remember where I was when I started getting revelation about God's word and God's truth. Oh, is anybody thankful for that moment? Is anybody thankful for a God who found you right where you were? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And this happens a lot for me in church. When people get the Holy Ghost, it's not just another moment. When Brother Cliff is baptizing people back there, it's not just another moment. This is huge. Because it takes me back to the moment when my sins were washed away. And it takes me back to in the basement of my house, my mom praying me through to the Holy Ghost. I remember the times. I remember the story. I got to go back and see it. Because I don't want to forget. So I got to restore that joy of my salvation. I've got to bring it up again. I've got to talk about it again. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord. When you rejoice, you do joy over again. So we come into the house and we rejoice and we sing the songs, and you probably hear the same scriptures, but guess what? It's the word of God. And it's what saved your soul. And it's the only hope that we've got in this world. And so we're going to continue to declare the truth of the word of God. We're going to continue to sing the songs. We're going to continue to open the book. We can't ever forget a story. And so we need God to take us back to that place. Because when you've lived this for a little while, you get to a place to where this thing is automatic. You live for God, you read your Bible, you've got your systems in order to where you're going to make it no matter what, because it's systematic. And I read my Bible every day, and I pray every day. And when Wednesday night hits, I'm going to be in the house of God. And when Sunday morning, but I'm talking about something beyond that. I'm talking about going back to that place and revisiting that moment and saying, God, stir it up in me again like it was on that night. Stir it up in me again. Let me get a fervor for this thing like I did of times past. But God, build upon that. And every time you go back, you're building on that memory. And it becomes more robust. And it becomes bigger in your life because you elevate that in your life. So we got to tell the story. We got to spend time. We got to spend time telling our story, because it's not just for the person you're telling it to. And we'll get there in a moment. but it's for you. You've got to remember where God brought you from. I know you got your suit on tonight. You look nice. But think about when you were in the streets. And think about when you didn't have a prayer in the world. You didn't know left from right. You didn't know up from down. You didn't know right from wrong. But there was a God that saw fit to save your soul. And there was a God that said, I'm going to save them. I see exactly where they are. I'm going to do a work in them. They're not going to even recognize the person that they're going to become. Don't forget your story. Don't forget your story. Amen. Joshua stands at the Jordan. And like Moses, he needs God to do something miraculous. He's in a tight spot. They can't move forward. They can't go in and possess the land. And God tells him, I will be with you as I was with Moses. In that moment, he's saying, go back, revisit what I did for Moses. I'm going to do the same thing for you. And the Bible says that 12 men carried 12 stones and placed them by the lodging place for a memorial. And children will ask, what mean ye by these stones? And you'll begin to tell the story again. And you'll tell them, this is where we were. And we didn't have a way out. And our back was against the wall. But there was a God that parted the Red Sea. And this is where we were at the Jordan. And we couldn't go forward. And we couldn't possess the land. And we couldn't get to the promised land that God had promised us. But there was a God that parted the Jordan. And you can go back into Abraham, and you can go back into Noah, and you can go back into all of those stories, and you can talk about creation, but you can't ever forget the story. The children of Israel forgot their story. They got on the other side, they begin to murmur. They begin to talk about all the things that they didn't have. We're talking about water, and God just did 10 plagues that will blow any of our minds today. We're talking about a cup of water. We're talking about something. This is small for God. The plagues were small for God. We've got to remember when we're in a tough situation that we have a God that is well able to deliver. We have a God that is well able to heal. We have a God that is well able to set you free. We've got a God that's able to do anything that you need. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Does anybody understand what I'm preaching tonight? Do I have a witness in the house that knows that God is faithful, that God is true, that God, we can stand on God's word? We can stand on God's plan. We can stand on what God said because it's true and it's real. And it might be rocky and it might be tough. And you might be going through a situation where you can't see your way through. But there's a God that's already made provision for you. And there's a God that's already walked through the Red Sea before you ever got there. And he already planned it out. And he said, right here, when you put your rod down, I'm going to strike this open. Both sides are going to. He's got a plan. He's ready. He's not caught off guard by your stress. He's not caught off guard by your circumstance. He's not caught off guard by anything that we go through. God is well able to do whatever we need. Does anybody believe that in the house of the Lord? And you'll begin to tell your story. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, in the other place that we chose for a text today, the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And so stories help us to overcome. I remember when I was a young kid, probably 4 or 5 years old, maybe even younger than that. My mom got the Holy Ghost pretty young when she got it, right before, actually the year before Twan was born, my mom got the Holy Ghost. And I remember her, she hooked up with a bunch of ladies. All of them were older than her. And they would go to this house, and at this house, they would start singing gospel songs. And at this house, they would have testimony service. And I remember, as a little boy, just playing in the house, not even engaged in what they were doing. I remember one of those old ladies would get up and just start testifying. And she would say, when I look back over my life and I begin to think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. He's given me joy. He's given me peace. He's given me a life that I don't deserve. And another lady would stand up and she would talk about the goodness of Jesus. And they would sing those old songs and they would speak all of that stuff. And I'm 4 or 5 years old. And we would do this every single week. And I wonder, why do we always got to go to this house? No men here. It's all ladies. They older. And I was just, and I wondered that. But they were telling the story. And they was revisiting, restoring the joy of their salvation. And remembering how it was. Some of those ladies got the Holy Ghost probably, I think, 30 and 40 years before those meetings. But they were going back and they were touching it and they were saying, I remember that night. And I remember when God found me and I was a mess and I was rough and I was in bad shape. But there was a God that saw fit to save my soul. And they would begin to testify and tears would begin to roll. And I remember just running around the house and I can still hear the stories. I can still hear the songs. I haven't heard a lot of those songs in a long time, but I remember songs like Send Down the Rain, Send Down the Rain, Send Down the Latter Rain. And I haven't heard that in my adult life, but I remember that from my childhood because they were telling the story and they were talking about the goodness of Jesus and they were declaring the truth of his word. And every week I would hear some of the same stuff, but it's in me. It's in me. And now when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. When I think of his goodness, when I think about where he brought us from, when I think about my goodness in heaven. And I'm second or third generation. But I remember when my dad came into the house of God. He finally made a decision to live for God. And he walked down to the front and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. But that wouldn't happen if the church wasn't telling the stories. Yeah. That wouldn't happen if we closed up these doors and said, they've heard this song before. Yeah. They've heard this sermon before. Amen. Like I said, Brother Sutton just preached this a couple weeks ago. And I'm on edge because I feel like I'm boring this crowd. But I'm telling us, we can't forget our story. We've got to remember where God brought us from. You've got to bring it to your remembrance. So Joshua tells the men to take those 12 stones, put them by the lodging place. And children would walk up and they would see these stones and they would say, what mean are these stones? God told them to put it there for a memorial. And so every time we come into the house of God, I've been coming for a long time. And I see the stones there, and I've ran around them, and I've tripped over stones. But those stones mean something. Those stones are stories. Those stones represent something. And when we see those stones, we got to go back. Okay, I know what that stone is. That's when I was set free. That's when I was delivered of drugs and alcohol. That's when God stepped into my life and flipped my world upside down. We can't forget our stories. God has something big for this church, but we can never forget to tell the stories. For this next generation that's coming up, and I talked about it the last time I preached, but it's important that this group tells your story. We need to hear it. We need to understand what it was like so that we can move progressively forward. In order for us to go forward, we've got to understand some ancient landmarks and some things about the past. We're not greater, we're not smarter. We got a lot to learn. But I want to hear the stories because I got to know, how did God bring you over? I got to know, how did you get to the place where you were and get to this place? And so I'm second or third generation, and it's a little different for me because I've never tasted alcohol or I've never tasted drugs or anything or cigarettes or anything like that. But at some point, I had to get a hold of this myself because I've got two children at the house right now. And one day I'm going to have to tell them the story. I'm going to have to tell them how daddy got it for himself, how I had to dig into the word of God for myself. I couldn't lean on mama's prayers. I couldn't lean on daddy's prayers. I had to get into the book for myself. I got to have a story to tell. My God. It's powerful when we get together and exchange stories. You can't truly understand a person until you know their story. When you start to realize what people come from. I remember going to, my dad loves family reunions. We used to go to family reunions all the time. And at the family reunion, I remember they used to give us a shirt every year. There was a t-shirt drawn up for that family reunion. And when I was young, it was just cool. I'm worried about what color is the t-shirt so I can match it with my shoes. But so we would get those t-shirts, and I never really paid attention to what was on them. And I remember when I got a little bit older, we started getting those t-shirts, and I started looking at the family tree. And there was just a bunch of names on it. And so I remember asking my dad, what do these names mean? And he started talking about how this is our family history. This is where we come from. And I became extremely interested in that and history as a whole. I like to read about old times. I like to study old times. I started a clothing business, and I study 1920s fashion, 1930s fashion, and it helps me to for what I'm doing today because I believe they did it better than we're doing it now. But we've got to go back, and we've got to understand where we come from so that we can project ourselves on this world and understand where we're going. If we don't know where we come from, we can't understand where we're going, and so history becomes extremely important. Even for this church, understanding how it was built, understanding what it took for somebody to pack up their family and drive to Birmingham, Alabama and start a work here. And they don't have any family here. They're not from here. But they're following the word and the will of God. And you're sitting here tonight because somebody wasn't afraid to follow the word and the will of God. But if you didn't know that, you wouldn't understand it because we would just come in here and think that this just happened. This doesn't just happen. We are blessed people. But you got to go back and touch that. And you got to go back and understand and revisit those stories. Can I somebody say amen?
Amen.
Everybody stand. And so if you've got family that's never heard your story, you got to tell it. If you've got people in this church that might not have heard your story. That's why testimony is huge, because when I hear how you made it through, I can know that for me and my young family that we can make it through because Brother Cliff and Sister Robin made it through. And so we need to hear the stories. We need to understand what it took to get to the point to where we want to go. And I don't have an official altar call. There's no music. It's a little bit different. So if you want to just revisit your story, I want you to just come on up to the altar. We're going to pray. And then I want you to charge you to go and tell your story. Find somebody. Find a young person. Find somebody in the house that you can tell your story to so we can understand each other better, but also so we can get to where God is calling us to be. Somebody say amen. These altars are open. Let's go ahead and go to God in prayer.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Magnify you, Jesus. We exalt your holy name. You're worthy to be praised, oh God. You're wonderful in all the earth. You're beautiful for situation, oh God. We magnify you, Jesus. We lift you up, Jesus. We exalt your holy name, God. You're worthy to be praised, oh God. That's it. Find somebody to pray with real quick. We're going to go to God in prayer together. Mighty is your name, Jesus. Worthy is your name, oh God. Beautiful for situation, oh God. God, you're a deliverer, oh God. You're our healer, oh God. You're our way maker, oh God. God, you made a way for me when there seemed to be no way, oh God. You're matchless, oh God. You're righteous, oh God. You're glorious, oh God. Your truth, oh God, is everlasting, oh God. Your ways are above our ways. Your thoughts are above our thoughts. God, you do all things well, oh God, and you don't make mistakes, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. We magnify your holy name. We exalt you, Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. You're wonderful in all the earth. You're beautiful for situation, Jesus. That's it. Somebody remember where you come from. Remember where God brought you from right now. Somebody rejoice that God has done a miraculous work in your life. That God has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Mighty God, mighty God, we lift you up, Jesus. That's it. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise all over this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for all that you've done, oh God. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Love and appreciate all of you. I appreciate everything that you've done for my life. Thank you for all you do. You guys are dismissed tonight.